The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
So I've brought Casey with me today. Casey's set out on a whole new adventure as a solicitor, and a conveyancer. And I'm going to let her tell you her life story, but I will ask her to leave some of it out. I already know those bits and I don't need to know them again. Is that all right?
It's only because you were there, Nettie.
That is fine. Let's talk to Casey. Come on. Let's.
I'll leave you. Well, Paul, she's in your hands. Put your phone down. Talk to my friend.
Yeah, sorry. I've got some issues that I was dealing with there. So, Casey,
yes.
Tell us a little bit about your background and what's inspired you to start this new journey, this new journey. Thing.
Yeah. So I've recently, along with a couple of others, started up a new law firm, which is primarily based on doing residential conveyancing in Ashford Town Centre. So that's all very exciting. We've been running now since 25th of April. We were finally signed off. And it's myself and... Laurie and Amy. Amy was with me at my last job as well for the last 4 years supporting me, so it's a great help having her there. Basically, I left school at 18, took a job at a local law firm and worked my way up doing residential conveyancing. I've now got, I think I've been doing it for over 16, 17 years.
So
I decided it was time to go off on my own.
I need like this right from the start. Go on.
Yeah, now hold on a second.
Hold on.
Yeah, so you didn't go to university?
No, didn't go to university. So I
like her already. Yeah.
Yep. I was quite fortunate in the first company I worked for offered to support me and pay for my training under the legal executive route, which is an entirely different way of studying.
It's like ILEX.
Yeah, it's now I think it's called Silex now, so it's changed.
Silex?
Yeah, it's changed a lot since I did it, so I finished that quite a few years ago. And then once I did that, I converted the Silex course by doing the legal practice course, LPC, part-time at university, and that trained me as a solicitor.
Okay, fantastic. So you were doing that anyway as a job, and then you decided how long ago to launch Buxford Law?
It's been talked about for the last... year, six months. And then, set up. I left my last company at the end of March. Been at Buxford Law since the beginning of April. I was quite fortunate.
So about 6 weeks?
About 6 weeks, yeah.
Sweet. I like it. If you don't mind, if you do mind, just tell me my own business.
That's all right.
But I'm fascinated by this process, and I think it can be inspiring when people hear about how you did this, and you made reference to it yourself. You were talking about it, thinking about it for quite some time.
Yeah.
At what point, and what was the tipping point that went, sod it, let's do it?
To be honest, I think I wanted complete control. I got fed up with other people.
She's a control freak.
I am a control freak. I got fed up with having to listen to other people telling me how I should be doing my job and how to run things, so I decided it was time to do it myself and be in complete control almost.
That's cool. And I get that. I mean, that is a fundamental driver for most people that want to have it's not control freakery per se, it's been in control of your life, isn't it?
Yeah.
I've got one as well.
I've got two.
Oh, have you? Oh, she's winning. We're catching flies here.
2-1.
Yeah. Being in control is a major thing in people's lives. If when you feel out of control, that's when you feel stressed and under duress and all those kind of things. Mm-hmm. And if you work for somebody else in a big organization, quite often you can feel lost in that. So having control over, you know, your destiny is a big thing, although it is hard work, obviously, as well. I'm just interested in that process. Is the your new firm just you, or do you have a business partner in it?
I have a couple of business partners. There's four directors in total.
Right.
There's myself and three others. One of the others is doing her Silex training at the moment and working part-time alongside me. And then the other two are silent directors, partners. And then there's also another colleague, Amy, which is the one that I kind of stole from my last company.
She left before you, though.
She did leave before me.
That's called coaching. We've done that before. We've done that before. Don't you worry.
Yeah.
She left
before I handed my notice in.
Yeah.
So I was quite lucky in that Amy did a lot of setup with the company before I came on board. So I was very lucky in that regard. So there's a few of us there.
Okay, so you're very early into this now, and you said you're going to specialise in the property market and conveyancing?
Yep, property market, that's what I've been spending the last 17 years doing. Hopefully I've got a good enough reputation to carry me forward to keep bringing the business in. We've had a lot of interest and having discussions with local agents, mortgage advisors, all sorts of people that can kind of help to try and bring more business in and go from there, really.
And I'm assuming, I don't know, because I haven't really thought about it, but I'm assuming that, again, that area of law is an area where there is a technology impetus coming along.
Yes.
And as a new firm in that marketplace, have you started off by adapting to that straight away?
In certain respects, so we have a case management system, which when I first started doing law, companies just didn't have case management systems in place. So now we've got that, and there's a whole precedent of letters which have all been uploaded to the system, which we can change and specialise for different matters. But it just means it's there, it's a lot easier. We've also got a tracker matter system which sends text messages and emails out to people involved, so mortgage brokers, estate agents and the clients, explaining where that we are in the chain, so to speak. So once the searches go in hand, they get a text message saying your searches are in hand, they should be back within a week or however long. So it just keeps them updated and that level of communication. Whereas before,
because that was always a nightmare with lawyers, wasn't it? Yeah.
And the letter—it was always a letter, wasn't it? You can email them, but you got a letter.
Yeah. And I remember in a deep and distant past, sitting outside a house with a removal lorry, going, "You can't go in because the lawyers have gone to lunch and they haven't confirmed the exchange and all that." And you go,
"I can't remember the last time I had a lunch break."
Well, trust me, Casey, they used to have them, and they used to be long, boozy ones as well.
No, we have emails sent to our personal phones now, so even if we are at lunch, we're capable of checking our emails people know.
Yeah.
But there is that. There is also, obviously, emails we deal with. We've got website, social media, which we can always be contacted on. We try to keep in touch with our clients on a regular basis.
Yeah. And again, but, you know, without being funny, it is a change in the way that old school law firms used to behave. You're absolutely right. You know, they get a pluck a quill from a duck.
Pretty much.
dip it in some soot and water and write you a letter.
Yeah.
You know, the whole thing about technology is the speed up in communication. And that's really where the whole thing has changed, is that you can stay in touch and you can be in touch. And old style excuses like, "I was at lunch, so I couldn't do anything," just don't cut the mustard anymore. So I kind of get what you're doing in terms of adapting to the new way of doing things.
I think the interesting thing is Casey's dealt with matters of mine in the past, so I'm talking a little bit from experience here, but I took out a mortgage with a company who recommended their own solicitors. Do you remember that internet company that we don't discuss? And I very quickly said, "I'm not using them because I've got, you know, somebody that I know that would do it." But the interesting thing is, I think a lot of those online companies do the things that Katie's talking about. They just do it badly because there's not a customer service element to it, or you go very traditional. And I think what you're trying to do is the middle bit, you know, that local person, but that does it with the technology.
There's always...
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. And I'm going to tell you why. Yeah.
Oh, you're going to tell me why I make sense?
I'm going to tell you why you said it makes sense. And this is where the opportunity is, and where I think Casey and her partners are going to kind of nail it here, is, yes, you can do all kinds of things. You can do online legal forms. Yeah.
Yeah.
Of all kinds. Yeah. What most of them do is outsource them to somewhere in Asia where they got a sweatshop of people doing the grunt work, yeah? But at the end of the day, especially in a complex world that we live in, people want to talk to people, yeah? Anything you do, my background is technology. I've worked in technology nearly 50 years, okay? I'm fairly used to technology, but I still hate dealing with technology where there's no human contact so you can ask a daft question. Yeah, because you can't process everything. You can't have a process that comes in. It's why IVR boxes don't work. You know, press one if you've got a headache, press two if you've got an earache, press three. No, I haven't got any of those. I want to talk about something else. Yeah. The fact is, is that you need human interaction, and you need expert human interaction at some point to alleviate the silly questions as a client that you want to ask. And that's where I believe the future is using the technology as a tool, not as a weapon. And too many people use technology as a weapon and not a tool. Yeah.
The difficulty you have with the technology in law, particularly with the type of some of the online firms Nettie was referring to, is the people that are sending out the paperwork and sending out the emails and everything aren't actually legally trained.
Yeah.
So even if you do phone them, it'll probably take you half an hour to get hold of them by the phone. Yeah. But when you do, they haven't.
They can't help you.
They can't answer questions.
Computers say no.
Basically. Yeah. And then they have to, even when I phone them as another solicitor, you can't get through to the actual solicitor dealing with it. It's a caseworker who has very little training or knowledge of anything.
Yeah.
And it's frustrating.
Absolutely.
It's frustrating for me as a solicitor. Not sure how the clients would feel.
And that's entirely it. And that is where people make a fundamental mistake over technology, is they think that technology removes the need to talk to customers, and it doesn't.
No.
In a lot of cases, it actually expedites the need to talk to somebody. But the thing is, talking to an expert means that, but using technology means you can get all the fluff out of the way and cut to the nitty gritty of what it is you need to know. That's where for me the future of professional services is. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So are you able to shorten the time of conveyancing for a business?
My standard turnaround times are probably 4 to 6 weeks, where most people be quoting a lot more than that.
Wow.
I think the quickest I've done in turnaround is a day. So we had instructions from a client. It was on the Friday afternoon. It had to complete by Monday because he'd already sold his house, which was due to complete on the Monday, and he was going in to rent it. But then all of a sudden on the Friday morning, found a house he loved. It was quite lucky that it didn't have a mortgage. These agents contacted me because they knew I could turn it around quite quickly. We had the contract papers by 10 o'clock Monday morning, and we'd completed by Monday afternoon.
Yeah.
And that's the quickest.
So is it better for us as a
that's
business?
That's pretty impressive.
It is. And I don't want to go into all those. I was going to say, that's an extreme, isn't it?
That is an extreme.
So is it better for us as a business to buy or to lease? Or what are you seeing at the minute in that industry of conveyancing?
There doesn't seem to be a huge amount of change, particularly with, I know a lot of firms out there are worried about Brexit at the moment and aren't taking on more conveyancing staff to cope with the volumes because they think it's all going to change and they're worried about Brexit occurring and affecting it. But I'm not sure whether or not it's just Ashford, but the market just doesn't seem to be going away. It's still there. You're still getting, I mean, the prices have probably stagnated a bit or even dropped slightly, but there's still those houses being sold, because at the end of the day, people still needing to buy and sell and downsize, upsize, and all of that.
To be fair, in Ashford in particular and Mid Kent in general, we've been building like mad.
You've got Victoria Quarter, you've got all of the other ones by Quinn Estates as well, by
Chilmington. There's
Chilmington, exactly. There's
thousands and thousands and thousands of new houses being built, and people are going to buy them.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, that's kind of what we were trying to do, really. It was make houses available to people.
For homes. That's
for homes, for people to live in and other silly things. So, yeah.
What about the buy-to-let market?
I haven't seen quite as much in the buy-to-let market, but there's been so many regulation changes. Obviously, you've got the stamp duty change a couple of years ago, which made things a lot more difficult. And now you've got, obviously, the Section 21 notices changes going on.
Exactly. The government are trying hard to kill the rental market, aren't they? Let's face it.
I think, for me, the interesting thing is I don't see people selling their stock, though. And I think that's possibly a tax perspective. You then got capital gains. What's the point? You might as well keep it.
Yeah.
I did have a few clients that sold off pretty much all of their buy-to-let before the regulation changes came in.
But it's not loads of them, though. No. It's more the one or two rather than the extreme. That's interesting, isn't it?
You haven't even got the property developers doing the turnarounds as much either anymore.
The property market is always going to be there. It's not a market that's ever going to go away. We all need to live somewhere, somehow, whether we buy, rent, lease or whatever.
Yeah.
I've seen loads of weird things just recently, which kind of doesn't affect me. I'm just thinking about my kids in terms of, well, my eldest lives in France anyway, but my youngest is at that point where he needs to buy his first home at some point, and he hasn't got a hope in hell of doing that because he's trying to buy in London, and that's just never going to happen. But the fact is, when you look at it, you see a lot of properties now, a lot of new properties, and this surprised me, where people are selling the freehold to a property, but not the ground. And I go, what? Yeah. What? Really? What? How does that work? And there's a ground rent on a freehold property, and you're thinking, I don't understand that. Mm. And somebody was telling me about it the other day, and I just couldn't compute it, so I don't know.
Leasehold houses, which the government are trying to ban at the moment anyway, and they've actually announced a 14-point pledge, I think, in the last couple of days by a lot of landlords and the government, which is mainly to do with the flats, that the landlords are pledging to comply with certain things, which will hopefully help. But the leasehold houses, they're not... I don't think many more of those will be developed and sold.
Crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
How's that? It's just, you know, it's just not right. It's just,
so in effect, you own the house, but not the garden.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But you don't own the land that the house is on.
No.
And it's just really,
which is fine for flats, but houses.
Yeah. Well, flats, you ridiculous. Understand that because you've got, you know, the whole
loads of people live there. Yeah.
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 Interesting. Mm. So. And I just love the fact that you started this business because I love new businesses and I love businesses starting up. And I like it that you kind of bitten the bullet and decided to do it. And I also like the fact that you're only 6 weeks into it.
Yep.
So what do you think is going to be your biggest, we're like minutes away from the end of the show, Casey. So what do you think is going to be your biggest first challenge?
At the moment, the biggest challenge is getting onto lenders panel. So, the lenders will have a lot of requirements you have to comply with, ask for a lot of information before they'll even allow you to act for them. So when someone buys a house with a mortgage, you have to act for them. You're supposed to act for the mortgage lender as well.
Mm.
Whereas at the moment, we can't do that. We can do cash purchases, sales, and anything else to do with property. Well, we could act for the people buying the house with the mortgage, but then they'd have to have separate legal representation for the mortgage lender themselves, which obviously increases costs, which means they're less likely to use us anyway unless we pick up those costs for them. So that's the main challenge at the moment. We're trying our best, but as people know, banks and lenders aren't always easy to deal with. So that's the main issue we've got right now.
Right.
And then hopefully once that's resolved and we're on a few of the lenders panels, more lenders will allow us on there.
Cool. Well, Casey, thank you so much for that. We are at the very end of the show, I have to say. If people want to find out about Buxford Law, what's the best way to do that?
They can call us on 01233, I should try and find the number really. We've got a Facebook page and our inquiries email is inquiries@buxfordlaw.co.uk. We're on LinkedIn and on Twitter as well.
And you've got a website and there's a link to the website on the Kent Business Radio page, so do check that out.
It should be up and running now.
No, it is. I logged on to it this morning. I would put the link on the other day, it is working. So do check that out. And on the website is all the other contact details that you need.
Yes.
Casey, for the moment, thank you so much for that.
Thank you for having
me.
We
wish you much success with your business. Nettie, thank you for introducing us
to
Casey. We're at the end of the show.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.